The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being. I am now solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside and issue number 146. And we're flying by the seat of our pants yet again. We don't know the title of the show, but they do, right, John?
They do, yeah. We're going to have to work it out and check out, I think.
So, oh, we are.
Yeah, I don't have a strong feeling one way or the other.
So. I don't have a strong feeling, but probably for a different reason. So, I think checkout might be interesting.
Okay.
but I like where you're coming from, though. I like where maybe we'll have to come up with a different title throughout
maybe
the show.
So.
And I love how we spend the open of the show talking about a title that they know, and I'm like, if
exactly.
anybody knows, could you please text me?
Right. Text me and let me know what the title is so we can put it in the notes from the future.
Exactly. Exactly. Too funny. Some really big news. Very excited for a couple of things we're going to talk about. Really excited about that. A little bit of a sad news. But I also am pretty excited about a movie I want to talk to you about when we get to Real World. I'm hoping you saw it. I asked you about it, but we can talk.
I have not.
Oh, okay. But we'll talk about that when we get there. And a bunch of other stuff. You have anything exciting you want to tease the listeners?
That I want to tease? No.
No.
I don't believe in the tickle and the tease, man. Let's just get right into it.
That is so true.
That's why I've been married 3 times.
Okay, this has run its course. I'm out. All right. On that happy note, let's get into the store, John.
All right.
Hey, John. It sounds funny to like step in the store and say hi to you now. I'm like, I got to come up.
I know. We've already been talking.
We're like, so we're standing on the sidewalk and then we walk
5 minutes
into the
show, we're saying hello.
Hey, how you doing? I mean, it worked. It's part of it's part of our charm, John.
That's right. We just stick with something until it dies, no matter what.
Pretty much. It's the only place in the world we have charm.
Yeah.
So, how's your week been?
Not bad. I can't complain.
Can't complain?
No.
I see you got a little issue there with Diamond.
Yeah, well, their truck broke down, so... their comics are not going to arrive on time. So.
that's a slight issue.
It is.
I thought it had to do with the storm.
No. They drive their delivery from their warehouse to Dallas, UPS Dallas, where everything is shipped out.
Oh, okay.
From, and the truck on the way to Dallas yesterday broke down. Parts weren't going to be available or ready till this morning.
Oh, wow.
So... yeah. So fingers crossed that it actually has been resolved, because I don't know one way or the other. So I'm hoping books will be in tomorrow.
Yeah.
Could be Thursday.
Wow.
In true Brightside fashion, it could be tomorrow. It could be Wednesday.
Could be next Wednesday, which I got to imagine for some customers that is the case. If they're not there, they just come in the next week, right?
It will be for some of them, yes. And again, it always puts such a strain on the store when... you know, you've got some regulars that don't come in for a week. So,
yeah, because you're hoping they'll pick up something else. And then now that you're only hitting on them once.
Right. So hopefully they'll show up tomorrow. But even if they do, like with UPS lately, I used to get, you know, pretty much 11 o'clock delivery from UPS. Lately, they've been showing up between 2 and 3 in the afternoon. So even if I do get them tomorrow, it's likely to be fairly late in the day. So maybe too late to do a whole lot about it tomorrow once I even get them checked in and on the shelf. It might be 5 o'clock. So.
Oh, wow. That stinks.
Yeah. Yeah.
That stinks. All right. So. Hey, let's talk a little bit about spoiler free.
Okay.
Titans, what's that, episode 4 are we on now?
Four? 5, right? 5. Because we started with 3.
3, and 4, yeah,
this
you're right.
This is like the second 5. Week.
Yeah, 5. 5. Spoiler free, what did you think?
I mean, it was okay. You know, this was the let's put everything on pause and have the Jason Todd origin story episode.
Yeah.
Which you get in every show at least once a season with some character, you know.
With one of them, yeah.
Yeah. So it was fine. I mean, it did explain a bit, you know, of what was going on and how things came to be the way they are. So I guess it was a necessary break, but I did feel like it was a little bit of a break in the action, you know.
And it was
kind of ready for next week to get us back.
I didn't mind it. What did you think of the story, though? What did you? I mean, spoiler free. We could talk more about it.
Yeah, I mean, again, they're playing a little fast and loose with like multiple different storylines and I don't want to say origins, but like different
parts of DC. It's closer to the origin
DC.
Than I thought it was going to be, though. To be
yeah,
fair.
Yeah, but yeah, spoiler free. It's tough, but you know, you got Scarecrow who apparently has the run of Arkham. You know, he just goes wherever he wants and does whatever he wants.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
there's some things we'll talk about in spoilers, but overall, like, it's fine. Like, the explanation is probably the best we were going to get with the way this storyline is going.
You right.
know, they're not really going to do too much more complicated things than what they did. It seemed a little convenient and simple for
Your
me.
Favorite word.
Yeah. But, I'm not quite sure.
I got to get a sounder for that.
Yeah.
Convenient.
Not quite sure how that happened in the sewers, you know, but yeah, it was, like I said, it was fine. It did, like I said, it definitely explained where everybody was coming from, you know, a little bit of why Jason, you know, was the way he was and kind of the way he's acting the way he is. I actually really did like the interactions with him and Bruce this week. Like, Bruce was not a total jerk off this week. I kind of really liked where he was coming from here. And you know, it kind of goes back to some of the things that are happening in a couple of the comics right now too. Like, DC is really kind of hitting the sentimentality buttons these days.
Yeah.
You know, like, there was a couple of scenes in last week's Robin issue that we'll talk about when we get to check out, and then the week before in the Nightwing issue, there was some things that came up with him and Bruce. So, like, DC is kind of really hitting the button.
Tom King
pretty well
over?
Right now, yeah. But you know, there was that moment in this episode too with him and Jason that, you know, kind of really pushed on those buttons and, you know, tugged at the heartstrings a little bit.
That's why I can't wait to talk to you in spoilers in Kryptonite because
so I liked
that interaction. I still have a little trouble with what's his name playing Bruce because
I do too.
I have a hard time looking at him as Bruce Wayne there, and then do you do what I do? Do you like look at him and try to picture him in like the cowl, like the cape, and everything? Like,
yes, I'm trying to picture him still because
as
you
Batman,
get the sense that
like,
he's not retired. Like,
yeah,
up until this season when he, you know, disappeared. Like, you get the feeling that he was still going out every night dressed as Batman, and it brings me back to the Batman Catwoman issue we talked about last week with like 90-year-old Selina wearing you know, that costume out on the street.
Is it Cape Cowell and Kane now?
Right. It's
like, so, I don't know. It's like
I do the same.
I have a little trouble with that, like just picturing like the bottom part of his face sticking out under the mask and he said a couple of things this week that I did. And did you notice that they're making his stance when they'll have some longer shots of him and they're trying to get him to stand a little bit more Batman-ish. I'm putting up quotation fingers.
Oh,
and it's like his shoulders and his arms are out to his side, almost like he's ready for action. And you're like,
yeah, he's got that
kind of
like hands on the hips, like fists on the hips.
Or no, even like out to the side. Like, his hands are way out to the side. They're not his hands on his hips. They're out to the side, and it's like, I don't know.
Right,
was there a walker
that
there that they took out?
That they're trying to get him.
Yeah.
Get him in.
It's I don't know. It's just me. Something's in my head on that. I think it's right. All the wrinkles in his face.
But maybe.
But I love him as an actor.
I thought he was great in Game of Thrones. I like him, you know, as Sir Jorah. He was perfect, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what he was supposed to look like.
Yeah.
As Batman, he's not quite perfect.
Not so much. So, all right. And the other show, the other topic, What If? What'd you think of that this week? Do you remember it?
I'm trying to. Yes, I do remember it.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it was good, actually. I enjoyed it. I'm trying
feel
to remember
that
who
each
the.
Each one is getting better than the next. Although you did like the second
one. Well, I didn't.
The first one better.
I felt like the first one I thought was better than like the other two. This one I liked a lot, though. So.
I love this. I love the idea of it. We could talk about that in Kryptonite as well if you haven't seen it. I can't even remember what the title is of it, but it's basically like, what if the Avengers were taken out or something like that?
Right, kind of before they
happens.
Basically, if they were taken out before they were able to be put together, you know?
Exactly.
I'm just trying to remember, at the end of the day, I can't remember who the bad guy was, but we'll get to that in spoilers.
Oh, I know.
Because I'm completely drawing a blank for some reason. So,
have you ever had Hank's Hot Sauce?
Hank's Hot Sauce.
That was a hint.
I feel like, well, that's a hint, yeah, but I'm not, not doing it for me.
So. You want me to text you?
No, we'll talk about it in spoilers.
I can't wait that long.
You'll surprise me.
I'll surprise you with the ending of a show you've seen.
I know, but since I don't remember, it'll be like new again.
Oh, so. That's funny. Yeah. Oh, boy. Let's see. Why can't I get, all right. You ready to
I remember.
Thanks.
Now I remember.
You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
Okay.
I do.
All righty. Look at that. We are cooking right along now.
Came to me.
There you go. I've just had a little technical difficulty.
I was thinking I was thinking Titans because I'm like the only Hank I could think of.
Nope. All right. Are you ready to get to some breaking news or whatever the news in the news of the week there at Arkham Comics is? Ready?
Yep.
What do we got?
Well, yeah, we're going to start with a little bit of a sad news. We have another RIP. Seems like there's one almost weekly these days. Yeah. But Ed Asner passed away the other day at 91. You might feel like he's not somebody we would address on this show, but
I got the image of it. Yep.
Yeah, he did a lot of animated voice work, Batman, and a lot, several other things. So he did kind of live in this world a little bit. Of course, most well known for Lou Grant,
yeah,
and Mary Tyler Moore. A guy that got his success rather late in life, because that was his big break, and he had to be in his 50s by
40s then. To 50s it, I think
at that time so just a great guy apparently from all accounts he was a great guy and a great actor so
91
rest in peace Ed
but the image that I got for YouTube it's I can't remember where it's from but it says remembering the prolific actor's cartoon renaissance and it has some images of some of the characters that he's played for cartoons, the animated features and stuff. So,
and of course, Up, he was in Up, the Pixar movie, which I haven't seen, but...
oh, really?
That was another major career resurgence for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lydia loves it,
I haven't seen it. You've been pretty emotional lately, John.
I know.
You would make it through that one.
I've been a big softy lately.
Yeah. In true Disney fashion... the wife dies.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, well, I mean, I know what it's about, but I just haven't seen it.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. So, I mean, unless you're not getting along with your wife, then it's...
Well, true. Yeah. Depends on what day I watch it. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, things... I get it. Things are looking up. I get the title.
That's such a funny movie. Damn.
What, honey? Oh, you number one. All right. move on to yeah. This one here, this is kind of surprising.
Yeah,
it's
happier
not,
news.
But I mean, it's good. Yeah, news, but it's people like. Go ahead.
Well, I'd say it is, but it isn't. Yeah. As far as a surprise, but Cobra Kai has been renewed for a season 5 once again ahead of their season 4 debut. So. Without knowing how season 4 is going to perform for them, Netflix has pulled the trigger on season 5.
Yeah.
I'm sure they know how it's going to perform for them, but it's always interesting to me when I see shows get renewed when there's a new season about to hit. Sure that's more to do with casting and holding on to the actors more than anything else, you know. So
if you're into season 4, you know, 3, 4, and the show's going well, then that's not a surprise.
Right.
The surprises are like when the show gets renewed for season 2 and we haven't seen 1 yet. That's
yes, which happens a lot.
Yeah,
like
that's a surprise.
What's the Lord of the Rings has already been renewed for season 2. Wheel of Time has already been renewed for season 2. So,
Lord of the Rings is probably a good bet.
Probably, and the amount of money they had to pour into just making this show,
There's
no way they're only doing one season and walking away.
Right.
So.
Yep. No, I think it's more of just a nice little, I don't want to say it.
Well,
it's nice to hear because you're like, oh, cool. Now it's like, at least you know going into 4, you're like, all right, I got more to look forward to.
That's what it is. It's not so much a surprise is that we know that we can look forward to more.
Right.
Like, I'm waiting to hear Ted Lasso has been renewed for season 8 already.
Is there a 3?
I don't know if they've had that.
It's like,
that's what I'm saying. I want the season 8 renewal right now, so I can just sit back and watch it for the next 6 years.
I know.
But
we'll talk about Ted Lasso again when we get to... when we get to
Real World,
yeah. I was going to say Checkout. We'll probably talk about it there, too.
We might. We talk about it everywhere right now. We're like, it's like the Ted Lasso podcast.
I know.
So. Once they've got like 4 or 5 seasons, we need to just do the watch-along?
Party
episodes.
The watch-along, yeah. Exactly. So
we'll just turn this into, like Dr. Joe's doing
Apple.
the psych podcast.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll do the Ted Lasso podcast.
The Ted Lasso. So. I have a comment on the Ted Lasso one that is actually Brightside related. So,
oh, okay,
yeah,
cool,
pretty cool. So, all right, what do we got next? We have some Marvel news.
Marvel news, yeah. Marvel is reportedly developing a Halloween special for Disney Plus, and it looks like it will feature Werewolf by Night. I would normally list this under the rumor category since it hasn't been confirmed, but if you think back. A little while ago, we talked about how Kevin Smith made mention that he was not allowed to use Werewolf by Night in a project he was working on because Marvel had plans for that character. So this just kind of jives with that, and it makes me feel like it's probably more of a sure thing. And we know that they're working on like a holiday Guardians of the Galaxy special, so it seems like this is something they may do going forward. I think that'll be cool.
Is it for this Halloween?
No, I can't imagine it.
Yeah.
They have the time to do that. And there's no word on whether this is animated or live action. It's just
I was
reports.
Assuming animated, yeah.
I was assuming animated as well, but they talk about casting news, but you know, you still have to cast voice actors, so.
Right.
But the news in the report was that they were looking to cast a Hispanic actor for Werewolf by Night, which makes me think it would be live action. So,
okay,
yeah,
okie dokie. That's it. It'll be fun. I like Halloween specials.
Yeah,
go along with Charlie Brown.
Yeah, I haven't seen one in 20 years, but
20. Well, I watched Charlie Brown last year.
Did you?
Yeah, it was on. I think it's on Apple Plus.
Actually, I watched the Christmas special last year because it was on
Charlie
Apple
Brown,
Plus.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the first time I'd seen it in about 20 years.
Oh yeah,
since my kids were young.
I wanted them to insert the Almond Joy commercials.
Yeah,
that you used to get every year. Brought to you by Almond Joy. All right, next up. Ooh,
this is great news for a show that I still won't watch. but Bridget Reagan has been cast as Poison Ivy in Batwoman Season 3.
She's going to be great.
Yeah, she may not be well known to a lot of people, but she was in a show I used to watch called Legend of the Seeker, and she played in that for a couple of seasons. And
okay, I didn't see her in that.
And she is a redhead, which...
that helps.
You know, surprise of all surprises, they've actually cast a redhead to play a redhead.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I liked her on that show. I think she's a great actress. I think she'd be... I'm really happy that they're bringing Poison Ivy, but it won't make me watch Batwoman Season 3. So
that's
I'll
a shame.
Likely, other than still images that I'll see online, I won't see any of any of her performance.
That you'll save to your phone.
Exactly. Yes, I'll save to my save to my bank.
so. This show is good.
I know it's really going off the rails. I have to skirt the line of like. Yeah. Oh, I didn't bring a drink this week. Dang.
Oh,
I meant to bring a drink.
Oh, no.
I have to skirt the line of innuendo and see how far I can go. So.
That wasn't even an innuendo. You just left out a word.
Yeah.
It's like that one.
Well, no, because I feel like a young child would ask their parents, like, what bank I was talking about.
Exactly.
And then it would be up to them to answer as they chose. So.
God. Not the piggy.
Anyways. That's right, the piggy bank.
One of these days, we've got to go completely dark, because I've got some...
I know, we said we were going to do that,
but we... comebacks for this stuff.
We have not.
I've got a really good one for that one.
It have to do with deposits and withdrawals? I don't know. Compound interest.
Oh.
Anyway. David Oyelowo.
Next.
I don't know if I actually I'm positive I said that correctly.
Yeah.
Oyelowo. David Oyelowo is developing a new Rocketeer movie for Disney Plus. So I enjoyed the Rocketeer movie. You know, years ago, whenever it came out, I was never really a fan of the comic. Like, I'm not like not a fan, but it's not like I've ever really read the comic. So I don't know that much about the character. But I know he is, they're changing it slightly. And he is going to portray like a retired Tuskegee airman who takes over as the Rocketeer. So it's going to be a period movie taking place shortly after World War II. So, yeah, I mean, I'll definitely watch it. I mean,
yeah,
it's kind of one of those things I didn't know I wanted to see until they announced it. And,
yeah, no, you know, it'll be good, I mean, on Disney Plus. Yeah, that'll be great. Yeah. That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Should be interesting.
Yep.
Last but not least, it looks like Disney has greenlit Jungle Cruise 2 with The Rock and Emily Blunt both returning to their roles in that movie. So. I didn't think Jungle Cruise 1 was a smashing success for them, but apparently it's done well enough to...
did you see it?
To do it. I have not, and I've heard mixed. I've heard mixed reviews from people. Some people saying it's super fun and definitely worth the view, and then others, you know, not so high on it. So just like every other movie or thing that exists in the world, there's differing opinions on it. So
really?
Yeah.
I thought everybody got along.
Yeah. Everybody thinks the same way about everything, apparently.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, like I said, I've heard a definite mixed bag on this, but I will watch it when I don't have to pay $30 for it.
Right.
I just don't want to watch it that badly. But I always find The Rock very entertaining. Emily Blunt is very entertaining. So, you know, whether it's even like it could still be a stupid movie, and I'll probably still enjoy it because I just like them. So.
Yeah, I've actually, like, if I had the time, I think I want to sit down and watch this one on Disney Plus. Pay the,
right.
I think it's like $30. Pay that.
Yeah, I think it's $29.
Hang out with Jen and watch it, because from what I've heard, it's pretty good. It's a decent, you know, home theater experience, and it seems like a decent movie. So, wouldn't mind checking it out. It's just not high on my radar. To, you know,
right?
It's not one of those movies, but. All right.
It's no Hurricane Heist. So
no, absolutely not. I can't believe that got snubbed.
More on that later.
At the Oscars. Yeah.
I know, right?
Well,
I think it was. I think it did well at the Razzies, though. So
oh, there you go. Yeah. See, all right. As long as it's getting its awards,
right. It's getting its due somewhere.
Oh, it's gotten its due. All right, you ready to get into some comics?
I am.
All right, John, what am I going to spend my money on this week?
All right, Dark Ages issue number one features a new villain called the Unmaker. That's pretty original, by the way, the Unmaker. The big issue here is the 1 in 50 Stegman variant, which features Unmaker on the cover. That one's selling for double ratio at about $100. But depending on, you know, this villain and being a first appearance, you know, any of the covers might be worth picking up for speculation.
All right. I like the cover.
I haven't even seen the ratio cover because
it's a pretty cool looking cover.
I haven't gotten my books yet, but even if I had, I didn't order 50 copies of this.
Right.
So,
yeah, it's a pretty cool looking cover. You'll have to check it out on YouTube, John.
I will. I like
Google
Ryan Stegman.
Like I did.
Yeah, yeah, Ryan Stegman's art is always good, though.
It's pretty cool. Pretty cool looking.
Okay.
Next up.
Oh, yeah, this will be a favorite of many people, including Dr. Joe. Moon Knight, issue number one. The second printing has a 1 in 25 variant by your favorite and mine, John Romita Jr. It is seeing a lot of interest, though, selling for double ratio at around $50. I think it's more because it's Moon Knight than anything else, because Moon Knight is enjoying a new surge in popularity right now. So
they just took his other cover and took all the color out of it, really. It's just a black and white cover.
Yeah.
Looks like a pencil drawing.
I've enjoyed that series so far through the first two issues, so just keep John Romita Jr. away from it so I can continue to enjoy it is all I ask. As long as it's just a cover here and there and not the interior work, I'm
right.
Good to go.
So, but you don't like forearms?
Yeah. yeah, hold on. I'm sorry. 1 second. I can just need to text yes.
Okay.
Good to go.
There we go.
All right.
That
next
business
up.
Getting done here at the
I'm
Bright
doing,
Side
I'm,
Chat.
Right, I'm working. I'm reading. I'm doing all kinds of stuff.
All kinds of stuff.
I'm texting yes. all right. Sonic the Hedgehog, number 43.
Couldn't find this one.
No?
No.
I mean, this is standard fare these days. The 1 in 10 incentive variant selling for a double ratio at $20, just like every other Sonic cover these days. Next, Spawn issue 321 has a 1 in 50 variant that's selling for between $60 and $90, so almost double ratio there.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars High Republic Adventures issue number 8, 1 in 10 incentive variant selling for $20. This is the big one that's kind of all over the place. Stray Dogs Retailer Thank You variant. So we were informed I think last week or maybe 2 weeks ago that we were going to receive a free thank you variant from Image for Stray Dogs. So again, this is a one per store thing that every store, I imagine, that ordered some quantity of Stray Dogs, but it could be every store, I don't know, is getting one of these.
Now,
so there's only a couple copies on eBay right now.
Right.
But two of them have sold today, one at $75 and one at $250.
Wow.
So it's probably somewhere in the middle, right, is what the real value of this is.
Let me ask you this, though. What I was seeing is that it looked like every store was getting a different one, because the images I was pulling up, or I didn't get an image because I didn't know what the one you were looking for. And it was like this store's, you know, thank you variant. This store's thank you variant. And they were all different. So, like, our stores, are they sending different ones to different stores? And then the stores say, this is the one they sent us, and they sell it. So that's why some of these are going at higher prices?
I haven't heard that one way or the other. I don't have any idea. I, again, haven't received even mine yet, so I don't know what I'm getting. I know there was some crazy listing on there for like $1,800, but it's not going to go for anywhere near that. But again, this is one of those things where, you know, you might get $250 today and you could hold on to it for a year and it might be worth $1,000. You know, who knows? Because,
or 50.
Yeah, or 50. But like I said, it's one per store. So it's fairly limited and it's a super hot property. But again, it depends on how long this thing stays hot and in the mindset.
See, this is why I couldn't own the store, because I'd be like, oh, you're welcome. I'm keeping it.
Well,
you know, like I would keep the cover, and it's like I'd be like, "Ooh, they sent me a thank you variant just for me for the store."
This is why I don't collect comics anymore, because for 2.5 or so years I did that, because I was a collector and I was like, I want this in my collection. So I would take those things and I would take them home, and then I made the decision at a certain point that I was either going to be a collector or a retailer. And I hauled all of my comics from my house to the store, and I've sold every single one of them. So, and that's why
I don't. It's all sitting behind you.
Right, right. and I focused my collection towards something else. But that's why I don't do that, because it's hard to not do that stuff if you're a collector.
Right.
So, and you know, I'm not the guy that will hold it for it. Like, if I can get $250 for it today, I'm happy with that. I don't care if I could get $1,000 a year from now. You know what I mean?
Right.
Money in hand now is worth more than potential future money. So,
right.
I get these things and I put them up for sale and I try to get rid of them in 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. And then last but not least, Transformers King Grimlock issue number 2 has a 1 in 10 variant selling for between $16 and $20. So. Almost double ratio there as well.
Yep.
So.
All right.
Yep, that is it.
All right, John, your favorite sound, or one of your favorite sounds.
One of my favorite sounds.
Yep. Coming up, let's get into Back Issue Bonus.
All right, so.
She fell onto Dick.
Keeping on the Moon Knight train, we have Moon Knight number 1. This is the 2011 series of Moon Knight, and this is the second print we're looking at, which apparently is very scarce and is selling for about $175.
Wow.
So that's pretty good money there. And then Moon Knight number 188, this is from the original run. Also, the second printing, though, is seeing a lot of interest. This is now this is also the first appearance of the Sun King character. And it's selling for between $30 and $40.
Cool.
Next up, we have, just from a couple of weeks ago, Batman 89, issue number 1. I didn't read this book.
I did.
Oh, actually, I did. Actually, I did read it, but I don't remember the new
Robin.
We
didn't like it.
But apparently, yeah, I didn't like it. But apparently, there's a new Robin that debuted in that issue.
Yeah.
And it's now selling for between $12 and $15. I don't remember anything about it, apparently, because other than Billy Dee Williams being Harvey Dent, I don't remember
being
Robin
the only
or anything
recognizable
else.
Character from the movie.
Okay. Next up, again, just from last year, Werewolf by Night, issue number 1. Mm-hmm. Again, going back to what we were talking about earlier, but again, it looks like this is the version of the character that they're looking to use, which is Jake Gomez. And this was a mini series that nobody really bought or read or ordered, because there was no interest in it. So not a lot of these out there. And it is selling now for between $40 and $50 only on the back of that announcement from Disney Plus. So, next up, Amazing Spider-Man number 544. Selling for between $30 and $50. This is completely on the back of the Spider-Man trailer. So, again, depending on what happens in that movie.
Have you seen that yet?
I have seen the trailer multiple times. I've seen it a bunch of times now because it's on my loop at my store.
Oh, cool.
So, I mean, I've only really sat and watched it all the way through like once, but I catch
we'll
a bit
talk about
of it
that in real
there.
World. I did a breakdown with Joe. Okay. We did a really good. I'll talk to you about it in a little bit.
Okay. And then Spider-Man issue number one. This came out a couple years ago too. Last few weeks we've been talking about like first meetings between characters were starting to pick up steam, and this follows that trend. This is the first meeting of Miles Morales and Peter Parker, and it is selling now for between $30 and $40. There are some outlier sales that have gone higher, but this is the average. So,
all right,
that is it for back issue bonus.
All righty. Well, then that gets us to FOC.
All right. Once again, we have a short FOC turnaround this week because of Monday being Labor Day. DC famously pushes their FOC back to Thursdays the week before when they have a holiday. So FOC is actually due Thursday this week. So as you're listening to this, you have one day if you're interested in any of the DC books. There's only a couple. It's not a lot even on it, but there is a Batman Superman issue number 22 variant by Gary Frank that is pretty cool. And then Harley Quinn number 7, Derek Chu variant that is also pretty cool.
Cool.
And then new series, this is actually just a one-shot. It's Are You Afraid of Darkseid? And there's two covers available for that. None of those are up on my Facebook page because it wasn't worth the trouble. But I believe DJ has the images.
Yep. I have the images for all three. I got a little sidetrack with something else going on. But all three images are, I'm scrolling them right now. Okay. That Batman Superman one's really cool, is really cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Harley one's really cool too. And the, what's the third one? The Are You Afraid of Darkseid?
Are You Afraid of Darkseid? Yeah.
I was looking at that when I looked it up because you sent me the links for it. And I'm like,
right.
It looks, I thought that was like a cover for this, like the Robin series we're reading right now. Yeah. And they're all, and I'm like, why do they look like little tiny kids? I'm like, they all look like young kids sitting around a campfire. But
yeah, it looks like he's telling stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the entire thing is drawn like little kids. Even Darkseid is portrayed as like a young, like a little kid drawing type thing. But pretty cool covers. But
yeah.
All right.
Okay, next up from Dark Horse, we have Stranger Things, Tomb of Yabwen, I guess. I don't even know how to say that.
Yeah, I know.
Y-B-W-E-N. This is issue number 1 of 4, and it has multiple covers. From Marvel, we have variant covers for Amazing Fantasy number 3 by Carrie Andrews and Black Cat number 10, Emanuela Lupacino. Under new series, there's actually a couple of one-shots. There's Darkhold Alpha with multiple covers and Extreme Carnage Omega, also with multiple covers. As far as new series, there is Inferno number 1. This is a 4-issue miniseries with multiple covers. Inferno marks the end of Jonathan Hickman's run on the X-Men. So this is kind of the finale to what he's been doing and building towards for the last year and a half to 2 years, and you know, be interested to see where this thing goes.
Cool.
And then last but not least, from Vault Comics, we have Human Remains issue number 1 with multiple covers. Actually got a chance to read that today, and we'll be talking about it a little more later.
Look at you.
Yeah, and that is
bringing the tease.
I know.
All right. That brings us to checkout.
It does.
All right, let's get to it.
All right, so the first book we're going to take a look at is from Image Comics. It's Echolands number 1. This was written by J.H. Williams and Hayden Blackman. Had art by Williams and Dave Stewart.
Art and writing written sideways.
Yes. This is the book we talked about last week that was, you know, read the long way, I guess.
Ain't that the truth?
It has the staples up at the top, and you had to turn it on its side to read it. In this, I guess to DJ's being facetious, but it was lengthy. there was a lot to it, so you had to read it the long way.
Yeah,
that way too. I like this book though. I guess not to put the cart before the horse, but
did you?
I did. Yeah, I did. I did.
I was a fan. We are going to duke it out then.
Well, I don't have a super strong feeling about it, as I mentioned. I did like it though.
Right.
But I mean, I thought the art was pretty good, and the story I thought was interesting. You follow a character named Hope, who lives in a world of magic, and she is, I guess, a magic user to some degree. But she, you know, she's a thief. She kind of lives on the streets, I guess, with her crew, and they have stolen something that. The ruler of the town, the wizard, is trying to recover. They don't quite know what they have. And so he sends his quote-unquote top men out to...
henchmen.
Yeah, out to recover the item that they're looking for. And one of the people that the female character is also a magic user, and she's the one hunting her and picks up on the fact that Hope has these abilities too. So... I don't know. Like I said, I thought it was pretty good. It was kind of like a chase issue where, you know, they were being hunted and trying to get away from these people that were hunting them down while they were trying to plan out their next job. And, you know, like I said, they live on the street and probably live job to job and, you know, are trying to figure out how they're going to survive. So, I don't know. Like I said, I guess I liked it a little bit more than you did. But I thought it was interesting. Definitely going to pick up the second issue and read it. So,
no, I'm not. I've said many times I'm not into like the magic and fantasy stuff. And then every now and then, more often than not, the book that we're reading will suck me in. This one didn't, and I was, I can't say the art was bad. It just didn't do anything for me. I just like it was too convoluted. I mean, it was nice and, you know, you had a bright red cape in there and it was, you know, like on it really made things pop for you. But the story just didn't pop for me. And I just didn't grab me. So I was just by the end of it, I was like, I can't wait to hear what you had to say about it. Because I'm like, it wasn't my cup of tea.
Okay. Well, like I said, I enjoyed it. No.
That's good.
Hey, yeah.
Can't love them all.
No skin off my nose.
Yeah, I know. All right. Now, get to this next one.
So the next book was also from Image Comics, King Spawn, issue number 1. It's written by Sean Lewis and Todd McFarlane. Had art by Javier Fernandez and Various. There were like several little short stories at the end of this book, and I'm pretty sure that's where Various comes in. The main book was drawn by Javier Fernandez.
Various is awesome. I love that guy.
Yeah, yeah. he's got good work.
Various. Is that French?
Yeah. So this, you know, this is the first new ongoing Spawn series we've had in 30 years, right? Ever since Spawn launched with number 1, this is the first new Spawn number 1 that we've gotten as an ongoing series. So so that's, I guess, a thing in itself. My only issue with this book is, like, I just had a... why was this not just another Spawn issue? Like, I thought King Spawn was going to be a different character somewhere, you know, along the lines of like Gunslinger Spawn or things like that. I wasn't expecting this book to just be another Spawn book, which just seemed like all it was to me. It was just like I was reading another issue of Spawn. I don't think it introduced anything new to what was going on.
Right.
I don't say that to say anything bad about this. Like, I thought the story was good. It was, you know, it was entertaining. I enjoyed reading the book. You know, it definitely sets up some, you know, something at the end that, you know, you want to follow. But I just kept thinking to myself, why was this different than just Spawn 323? and I still don't know the answer. You can.
Okay. I think the reason, honestly, I think the reason is McFarlane's trying to inject something new to Spawn, and that's why he's having Sean Lewis write it. And I get this information from listening to TLDR, because they had Sean Lewis on back in June.
Right.
And he would, I mean, it's a great interview, but he talks about like when Todd called him and said, do you want to write, you know, just called him up and he was like blown away. I think he said he was at his parents' house or something. But I remember Dr. Joe telling me about the interview before it aired, and he's like, the guys are right. He's like, Todd McFarlane's calling me. And it was really, really cool. But anyways, I think it was in that interview where he was like, Todd McFarlane called him up while he was writing, you know, he started writing it or whatever. And McFarlane's like, no, you write. Don't write how I write. You write Spawn.
Right.
I want you to take this. So I want your perspective. So I think what they're trying to do is, like, to your point, it's like, why don't they just keep writing? You're right. Maybe they could have just had Sean Lewis come in and continue Spawn in that way. But I think what he's trying to do is he's trying to create a new buzz, a new vibe of Spawn. And so he brought in a new writer, Sean Lewis. And because I think, isn't this the first time somebody's written Spawn other than Todd McFarlane?
I guess for any length of time. Like, I'm sure over the years he's had guest writers come in.
Various shows up every now and then.
but I think like in an ongoing capacity,
this
will probably be the first time. Like I said, not putting the book down in any way. Like, I definitely say go out and pick it up and read it. Like, it was fine.
Yeah.
I just didn't – it just didn't feel like it was different. It just felt like another issue of Spawn to me.
It did. But I think the artwork was like that. I mean, the artwork was great. I thought it had that Spawn. I don't know enough about Spawn to say that it's that much different.
I don't
different
either. Honestly,
much,
I don't
you know
either,
what I mean?
But
I did like it.
A little bit that I was reading recently just felt like it was all the same. It was all leading to this, and it was all the same as this. So
I love the storyline. I love what they're, I mean, they're going right at it with this story. And I mean, it's fun, but it's deep. And I like that. And that's what I'm liking about the whole Spawn universe here. And even the other stories, I'm like, a couple of them, I'm like, ooh, wow, I'm actually looking forward to that one. Gunslinger and...
Right.
So I'm liking the series. I like what Sean Lewis is doing. I can't say it's that much different than other Spawn that I've read, which, you know, weeks old now.
Right. I was going to say, because there isn't that much of it.
You know, there's a Spawn out book. It's out today. There's the ongoing is out today, so I'll be reading that.
Right.
But yeah, really, really like this one. That's the one that I liked. But where I would title the show.
I'm fine with that. Like I said, I don't have a strong opinion one way or the other. I liked them both fine. I didn't love or hate either one of them. So.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to live or die on either one of these swords.
I didn't hate Echolands, but I didn't like it.
Right.
So
I did, but
you did. But I really liked King Spawn. I like where that's going. I'm going to continue that Spawn universe and look forward to more.
Right.
So let's see. What else did you read just this week, John? I did catch up on Nightwing. Read that.
Okay.
Nightwing number 83. Awesome. Of course. Yeah. It's awesome. I don't want to say I barely remember it, because I did. I read it right after our show last week. So I do know, like, the ending, very emotional. Like you said earlier, this.
Right. Well,
really,
to me,
it's really grabbing you. And I mean,
to me, it was the moment with Bruce where, you know, he called him about,
good
you know,
God,
what he was doing with
good
the money.
Good God, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. 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 Oh, yeah.
And that I was like, a. That, a that's page what I was turner. Saying earlier, where it kind of hits you right in the feels. You know what
it
I mean?
It does.
And, because,
yeah, I literally, that's why I call that one like a page turner. I think I heard Dr. Joe say that, the Fry guy, like he said, like he told him about it. He goes, you're going to know the part I'm talking about where you get choked right. up or whatever. And it's like, he just wanted to see if he could guess or something. I think it was something right. like that. But yeah, that's definitely it. It's like that instance in the reverse, though. It's like when in Daredevil, when you turn that page and you see Spider-Man sitting there and right. you get like, oh, I can't wait to talk to John. You're like, it right. was so exciting, right? And this one, you turn the page and you read that. And it's what I thought was so awesome about that panel is it's not so much of what is said in that panel. It's so much of the history of Batman right. that makes right. that panel that emotional, because you know what that took. That right. is not Batman. That right. is not how Bruce is portrayed. And for that to come out, you know what I mean? So it's like you're writing that.
Right.
And it was Tom Taylor, right? Is writing yes. this. So he's taking that off the backs of everybody that has written Batman before him.
Right.
And he took that instance, and I'm not taking that away from him. He took something and he made it that powerful because it hasn't been done before. And it's, right. I just thought that it's such an amazing, and until you see that panel, you kind of take that for granted that he's just so right. stone-faced all the time. You know, right. and it's comical at times, you know, especially in any of the animated series, like any of the Justice Leagues. And
oh,
he's
yeah.
he's just himself, and he's like, you know. So he's Roy from, you know, he's like yeah. Ah. And that's all he is. But to see that in Nightwing 83, it's awesome. It's awesome.
Well, in these books here, these last, I don't know, well, however long Tom Taylor's been on, since 78 or so, I guess.
I think it was 78, yeah.
But these stories are what makes it okay for Alfred to be dead. You know what I mean? Because like,
yeah.
if they don't kill that character off, you don't get these stories. You know, all that being said, like, I'm still cheesed off that they killed Alfred. But like you said, you don't get some of these stories without that happening. So it's almost like this is what makes it okay.
Right. But to the point of like, hey, from death comes rebirth. You know, it's right. like, you know, things die, and then things are born from that. And that's, right. you know, in comics, who would have thought of killing off Alfred? But look at how people have taken that and really used that as a springboard into some pretty cool writing.
Right.
So, I mean,
and then the other.
Goes into, I think it's even in Robin too, right? Robin number, they mention it there as well.
Well, yeah, and I wanted to get to that in a minute because I have that written down. But the last thing I wanted to say is going back to what I mentioned last week. Also, at the end of the book, like, I want to know who Heartless is, because he references how he learned a lot from Dick. You know what I mean? Like, he talks about Dick. Like, they have a relationship, and it, like, really makes me want to know who that character is behind the mask, you know? So,
yeah.
So like I said, it's really, that series has really got me peaked to where I think right now, at least, even more than Daredevil, like, this is my favorite book going right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, he's, so. I feel like he's doing the same thing there that he did with, you know, his, quote, sister. We had that right. tease going along, and then that paid off. I like where that part of the story is going. And so now it is. It's such an intriguing, ongoing, emotional
right.
action. I mean, it's funny at times. Great action. It's a really, really good book. And
again,
like you said with Alfred, if we don't have the whole story of Richard before that, yeah. right? And right. the lull of Richard, does this story have the, you know, the gravitas that it does? You know, because it's like, it really feels like it's on an upswing, because it did kind of take a dip there with the whole Richard story, and which right. was intriguing to start, but then it kind of dragged on.
It was when it started. The whole Rick Grayson thing was good. Until it wasn't. Like,
right.
until it just went on way too long.
Right.
But.
Yeah, we like.
She fell on to Dick. Yeah, we like Dick, not Rick.
So, oh, I am.
I'm waiting for that one to come. Yeah, I'm waiting for that one to come back.
I am going
to
edit that one down. Where do I write down minutes on that one? 55, 30.
Well, while you're doing that, let's continue to ride the Tom Taylor train.
Okay.
Superman, Son of Kal-El, issue number 2.
Okay.
Did you get a chance to read that?
No.
Okay. This is another great series.
I know.
Like he's doing the same thing for John Kent as he is for you know, Dick Grayson. You know, it's like really bringing the writing to this series. And I know Dr. Joe mentioned this on TLDR last week.
Yeah.
But I had already had plans to bring it up here too. Because there's a scene.
Okay, you can bring it up.
Well, no, but I'm saying I had already. I knew I was going to be talking about
it too.
Because as I was reading it, I was like, this is pretty good stuff. But yeah, there's some interactions between, you know, Cal, you know, Clark and John in this that are really, really well written and really powerful things considering who these characters are. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it doesn't play when it's just like a father and son talking to each other, but when like you're the two most powerful beings in the universe, you know, when you're having this conversation, it has a different tone.
Yeah.
But you know, in a nutshell, you know, John just calls out his dad. He's like, you know, you're the most powerful being that there is. And like, you have the power to stop all of this stuff from happening. Like, why haven't you? And it's just like, really calls him out. And the answer was a little bit surprising actually. And,
don't tell me.
I'm not going to, but I was a little disappointed in Clark, actually, in Cal, in his response. And it was like, you know, that feels like a weak, it really felt like a weak answer, you know?
All right.
So you need to read it.
About that next week.
But yeah, another great series. And again, Tom Taylor, you know, really, really great writing there. So, I enjoyed that book too.
All right. What else you got?
Robin 5.
Yes.
So,
really good.
Yeah. Again, wanted to talk about that because there was a similar moment in that, this time between Damian and Dick. I can't get away from Dick. Like, I just keep, like, he's in every book, and I just have to keep saying it.
I can't keep making sounders.
I know. But it's like there's, you know, a couple of panels between those two that also just kind of really hit you right in the feels. You know, it's like they're really pushing those buttons. And, you know,
I love the wink. I had to read that interaction a couple of times because when you're reading it, you have to insert the context of what they're saying. And like, it's like, because Robin's like, what are you doing? And you have to read that like, hey, come back here. And Robin's like, what are you doing? And you have to, so then you read it again and you realize he's talking into his comms.
Right.
So that everybody thinks that Robin is getting away. And I had to read that like 3 times to actually, I'm like, I see what happened here.
I get it.
I get it. I'm like, why?
You don't have to hit me over the head. I get it.
Nope. That's what he said to him.
But yeah, just this again continues to be a surprising series. Like, it's been really, really well written, and it's been really good. So
yeah, I love the end of that, and I love how Nightwing, we'll say Nightwing instead of you know his name. I love how Nightwing is like, he'll be fine.
I'm not afraid of it, man. I'll say it.
I know. But how he's like, he'll be fine. He's fine. Doesn't he say he's protected or he's well, because he is who he has to do this. He had to, to go there, but he's going to be fine. He'll, you know, and I love the end of it where Robin shows up back at the island and everybody's like, where, you know, like he pulled it off And then he said, who's the character that gave him up?
Connor?
No.
It's not Connor.
Not Connor. The girl there on the island.
Yeah.
The girl.
I can't remember.
That gave
name,
him
though.
Up on
it's
the
not
island.
Ravager. It's the other one.
No. Yeah.
That's the other one.
But yeah, now I think now it's really going to take off.
Yes. Yeah. Because now the tournament's starting and the action's going to,
yeah.
To take over.
Yeah. And I just, Yeah, that whole the Nightwing interaction there with Robin, and that even plays into Titans a little bit. And yeah. I'm mixing that even that stuff up in there. And one of the things I liked about, and again, listen to Dr. Joe and how much he likes Robin. And did you hear him make the comment? I was literally, I'm working, I'm sweating my brains out. It was probably like 90 something degrees. And I started cracking up, laughing out loud, because Dr. Joe says, you know, I was never a fan of Damien because he's so arrogant. And he says to Fry Guy, he says to Nick, he goes, you know how I feel about arrogance. And I'm like, he does realize this is a fictional character, right? That they're writing him this way. I mean, he's supposed to be. He's supposed to be this arrogant little kid. And that's the point of it. And it's like, I'm glad Dr. Joe got the point. It's like, I don't like that. It's like, well, what do you want to write him like all the other Robins? Or each Robin is different, so you had to come with a punky little kid. And it's funny, too, because that's what I absolutely love and always loved about this Robin, about Damien, because I didn't like Damien at first because I didn't know him.
I was the same. I didn't either. Yeah.
When he first came out, I heard about it, and I was like, oh, great, another Robin, right? And I'm like, okay. And then when I started learning about him, reading him, I'm like, I like this kid. I like that he's that cocky. And the thing is, he's not arrogant. He's not. He's good.
He's confident.
Confident. It comes off as arrogant because he's a little kid. You know, similar to the girl in that show that we were watching, and it did play old on the show. What do you call it?
Yeah, Home Before Dark.
Right? And it, you know, but that was a realistic show where this is a comic book, you know?
Right.
It's like, but yeah, I really love Robin. And I was very excited for this book because I did like Damien, and this is pretty cool where this is going. Action's really going to pick up there. Did you read Vader 15?
Yes.
What was it about? Read it last week.
I don't know. War of the Bounty Hunters.
Yeah.
Well, it was him. Yeah, he was.
I forget what it was.
He was trying to take Han from Jabba. Won the bid.
Yeah.
Remember, he won the bid in the auction.
That's right. Yep.
But Vader was like, I don't care. I'm taking him. And then Kira came down, and they had a little battle, and
know,
at the end of the day, Vader took Han. So it's like could have just cut to the chase. We could have just cut all this out and skip right to the end.
Yeah,
but yeah, it did. It's still it's still a good book, though.
Oh yeah, oh yeah,
yeah.
That's all I've got.
I got one more.
Okay,
Spider-Man Life Story Annual.
Oh, doing another. I didn't see that.
They did an annual. Yes.
Okay.
So it's just a
We went through the life story. What, last 2 years ago? I think it was.
Yeah, this is like just a bookend to it, really. Mm-hmm. As much as the Joker is a Jim Gordon book, this was a J. Jonah Jameson book. It really just should have been J. Jonah Jameson life story, and it was basically this took place.
Is it good?
Yes, this took place concurrent with the entire series that we read,
but from
Jonah's perspective, and it boils down to basically a wasted life because he wasted his life, you know, railing against Spider-Man.
Haven't
we
seen that somewhere else? I thought I read that story somewhere else as well.
Well, this
was like, wow! I can't believe I feel like it was live action, like a comic, like an animated series.
Maybe, but this took it to extremes. Like I don't want to spoil the book for you because I think you should read it. But it really destroyed his life, his obsession with Spider-Man, and it was everything that happened to him along the way.
Yeah.
And it was actually really good. If you would have titled this J. Jonah Jameson Life Story, nobody would buy it. So I understand why.
Right.
It wasn't called that because I wouldn't want to read a Jonah story specifically.
But, not without the whale.
But after reading this, you know, once I was reading it, I knew what it was, but I was already invested in it. It was really good. Like, I think it was a great story. And like I said, it was a nice alternative look at the events from that series that we read. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I'm looking for it right now.
Yeah.
The annual. There we go.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Is that it?
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm sure I read some other books, but these are the three that I wrote down that, you know, kind of made an impression that I wanted to talk about. So.
All right. Cool. All right. Let's get to check out then.
Well, we already did check out.
But we don't need that.
This was check out.
Real world.
We are, but we're going to do coming next week first.
Oh.
Because I remember.
Ah, you remember. See, now I'm all screwed up here. Okay.
Well, it's because I'm looking at my notes, and I see it right there. So.
All right. What do we got? John, what do we have coming next week?
All right. So we are going to take a look at Red Sonja, issue number one.
Okay.
This is the Mirka Andolfo series. I will just read it. You don't have to if you don't want to. And then Telepaths, issue number one. This is AWA, and it also takes place in the Resistance universe. I have actually already read this, and it's great spoilers. But we're going to read it and talk about it again next week.
I don't know if that's a spoiler. So, it's AWA. That means great.
And everything in the Resistance has been great. So
yeah.
this is a really, really good book. I liked it a lot, and like I said, we'll talk about it more next week.
Cool.
And that is it.
All right. Now do you want to get to Real World?
I do.
All right. Now can I play the sound of please?
Think you can. Yes.
All right.
I'll allow it.
There we go. We're back on track, John.
We are.
All right. All right. Run down your list.
I will.
How busy of a week was it on your couch this week?
It was fairly busy, but as busy as last week.
Oh, okay.
All right. So the first thing we finished was White Lotus. We finished season one of that. We had two or three left. Really enjoyed it. I know I already recommended it to you last week, so I definitely think you and Jen would enjoy that show quite a bit.
Okay.
It's on HBO Max. Then I watched the Making of the Mando finale.
Yes.
With Mark Hamill's appearance there.
Oh,
and
man.
That was
awesome.
Yeah, really good.
All
the stuff that went into keeping that a secret, up and including like another Jedi being cast and written about, and
isn't that awesome?
Like they had like concept art and makeup and everything, so they really went all out for that.
How like painstaking. Literally, that word is perfect for that because what they went through for months to keep that a secret and never knowing. And I really think having Mark Hamill involved is what helped them keep Mark Hamill the secret because he knew. He's like, look, you have to, and he says it
he says I can keep a secret,
but
you need to make sure that XYZ can keep a secret.
Anybody
too.
Looking at film is going to see stuff. You've got to.
Right.
These are the hoops you've got to jump through to hide this from everybody, and it paid off. I mean, it really did. Because we were all shocked, and I loved how like Jon Favreau sitting there and Dave Filoni saying like. There was payoff after payoff, but you still weren't sure if it was him until he took the hood down. But they listed all of the things that you and I talked about, that we all talked about afterwards.
Like, right, because we all saw it, but we all still doubted it. Yeah,
right.
We still weren't sure.
Well, that's an X-Wing, but there's a million of those. We've seen those before.
Right.
And there it is. And then this. And the color of the lightsaber. And then
it's because
every
you just
checklist.
Still don't believe it. Like, you just don't believe that it's going to be him until it is. And so you're rational. rationalizing away all the dead giveaways that tell you that it is him.
Right.
But and then on top of the secret part of it, just the technology involved in like making it happen. You know, they're using it. They're using it in other places too, with the MCU and things like that. But just the stuff they went through to recreate on screen is pretty amazing.
You know what I was a little disappointed. I was blown away by it, and I'll get to that in a second. But the one thing that I wish that they had maybe inserted in there, and I know they made this before this had taken place, I'm sure. But you did see the story about the guy that did the. He redid the deep fake.
Yeah.
And then they hired him.
Right, but that came after the fact.
But that came after this. So what does that look like now? Right. Now that he's involved, that, you know, and he redid the whole deep fake thing and said, you know, he said, like, okay, Disney, here, somebody hold my beer. I'll show you how this is done. And he redid it. But did you see what I said? Did you hear my podcast last week, my home theater one on Friday?
No.
Where. This show is why my podcast was what it was last week. Because remember last week I told you I was doing Kick-Ass.
Kick-Ass, yeah.
Right? And I had all my notes for it. I'm sitting there. I'm getting ready to. I come home from work, and I was ready.
Oh, you watched this?
And I nobody was home, so I was going to hang out with the dogs. And I'm flipping on, and I saw that this was on Disney Plus. I was like, is that new? When did it drop? I don't know. So I hadn't seen it yet, but I'm like, there's an episode two. And I watched that entire thing. And I was like, Jen comes home and I'm like, I'm going to do my podcast right now. I'm doing it on this. And I did it all on that scene where Jon Favreau says, like, even to the point where they went through everything they went through to the deep fake and all the different options that they had to de-age Mark Hamill. And then, but they even put in that music, and they, when, you know, Jon Favreau says that even helps the illusion, the sound of A New Hope gets mixed into the Mandalorian score. And I was like, oh my God, how important sound is. And that's how I came up with my entire podcast, just on that one part. And I played that scene in my podcast. I played that one scene that they, from the Mandalorian in there. And it was just. And that's kind of blown up. I'm getting tweeting emails all over the place about sound over picture, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But what a show. Do you know when that dropped? Did that just drop last week?
It dropped Friday. Yeah, it dropped Friday. I knew it was. Well, I didn't know it was coming, but I.
Two Fridays ago, because I watched this like before Friday of last week. I watched this like on Wednesday.
I thought it was Friday.
Because I recorded my podcast like on Wednesday.
Maybe
and
I watched
it.
Maybe you're right. Maybe I watched it Monday or Tuesday night. I don't.
Right.
I must have. Yeah, I must have. But yeah, I knew that it was coming because I saw Mark Hamill talking about it on Twitter.
Yeah.
That it was airing. But before that, I didn't know that they were, like, I didn't know it was coming before that. Before.
Right.
He's, you know, before he basically said, hey, this is on now and you can watch it. I can finally talk about it, you know.
Yeah.
The other thing I thought was interesting, too, and this didn't have as much to do with the show as so much, is when they were talking about the deep fakes and, like, what they're going to be able to do with that. And I think it was – maybe it was Peyton – was it the director that was saying how, like, they're going to have to put, like – digital stamps of authenticity on things going forward to prove that what you're watching is authentic because you won't be able to tell.
Like, right.
And they're going to like embed in the video, in the coding, like, you know, something that says you're watching an authentic reel and not something that somebody made up because like in a couple of years, you won't know. You won't be able to tell.
Nobody would ever doubt that this is us. We're not being deep faked on this podcast because
because who would want to be us?
This is not the image you would pull up.
Exactly.
I'm like, this has got to be real because this is not what plays well with people.
Right.
two ugly white guys.
Yeah. If I was faking it.
I mean, I'm sorry.
It'd be George Clooney and Brad Pitt up here.
Right.
You know, we'd be like Ocean's 12, Ocean's 13, whatever. So
instead we're a puddle of mud 2.
Yeah. Hazel and Cha-Cha.
So. I mean, I'm sorry. You're sexy.
That's right. Thank you.
I told you that
Thank
last
you.
Week. You're always sexy.
You did. That's right.
But yeah, what a show. That was, yeah. That was so...
That was really good.
I couldn't wait to talk about that one with you. I was like, when did this drop and how did I not know?
Right.
All right. What else you got?
All right. And then I watched the fantastic Hurricane Heist on Thursday.
It's so funny. I thought we talked about this last week because you and I did talk about it a little bit already. But
well, yeah, we talked about it a little bit. But yeah.
All right.
A buddy of mine sent me a copy of Hurricane Heist.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot.
Just showed up on my doorstep. I didn't even know it was coming.
Hey.
I was like taking the trash out, and I turned around to walk back up to the house because I never used that door. And I saw a package laying there. So I don't even know how long it was there, to be honest with you.
Honestly, it's been there since Tuesday, I think.
Okay, so it was probably there a couple of days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I thought you would have had it for when we recorded last week. It said it. And
well, it probably
was. I got
was,
the delivery, but, right. And I didn't say anything to you. But
so, yeah. And then it's funny because as I'm walking up to pick up the package, I knew I didn't have anything coming, so I was wondering what my wife bought. And then, yeah, so...
Why did she buy that?
Cracked open Hurricane Heist. Yeah. We watched that on Thursday. We talked about it last week when you brought it up. Super good home theater movie. Not the greatest movie overall.
No.
But it was fun. It was, again, like you said, one of those just kind of leave your brain at the door, just have fun. It's a lot of crashes and wind blowing and storms and trucks flying all over the place. I was really taken by the spikes on the bottom of the truck, though, because I didn't know that existed. So
I don't know if it does, was, to be honest
yeah,
with you.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Because you know why I don't know if it does? And I love them. I think it's great. Yeah. But it only helps you if you're being pushed front to back.
Right. It doesn't actually help you from being lifted up.
It's like right. The spikes
which
go
is what
the,
a hurricane would actually do.
Right. Yeah. So it's like, and that truck isn't exactly like... low to the ground,
right?
So there's plenty of room for wind to get under there, and those spikes are just now you just you know you're sending a giant spike truck into the air.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, I mean, that thing was the truck was amazing.
Was awesome, yeah,
wasn't it? And it's like how they use it at the end.
Yeah,
and they're like, no, not my truck.
Yeah, he's like, no.
He's like, for the money, you could have like. A fleet of
yeah, you could
things.
Have a whole fleet of them. so yeah. I don't know that I recommend
fun.
It, but
yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it's a lot
if,
of fun.
If you have a home theater, or you just want
or a buddy that will send it to your house, you know, you definitely watch it. Definitely watch it.
Hey, I gave two away in my podcast. Only
of
one,
that movie.
Yeah, only one has been claimed. There are Easter eggs in my podcast, and if you listen and you find them... And it's not like an Easter egg where you have to name something. It's literally, I say what you have to do, and only one person has claimed it so far.
Yeah, well, because people don't always pay attention.
No, I know.
You know? I used to, when I worked at Bed Bath & Beyond, and actually this is a trick I learned, I think maybe even back when I was working at Kmart. You know, when you're not going to be there for a while, you leave lists of things
that
you need people to do. And I would always embed somewhere in the list, mention this list to me when I come back and I'll buy you a Coke or something like that.
Right.
I never gave a Coke away.
No.
Never once.
No.
So that tells you how much people pay attention to the notes I was leaving.
Notes all the time.
But yeah, I would put that in almost every list I ever put out, and I don't think I ever bought anybody a Coke. So
it's so funny. I go through our show notes and I try to come up with creative things to write, and like John and DJ did this week and blah, 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 and blah. And I'm sitting there, and by the end of it, I'm like, nobody reads these. I don't read anybody else's show notes. What the hell am I doing?
I don't even read my own.
Right. No, I do. I'm like, oh, that's not spelled right. Or in the middle of the week, I'll look at our notes and be like, oh, my God, I can't believe I misspelled that. Let me go back and fix it. Yeah. But, yeah, nobody cares. But, yeah, it's I hide stuff in there all the time. And I said to them, I think last week, couple weeks ago. I'm like, there's some free stuff out there in my podcast if you find it.
Right.
And there is.
And there is.
But, yeah, good movie. Fun. Yeah, all right, what else you got?
It was fun.
It's definitely fun.
We watched Val.
Yes, one of my listeners recommended that. I want to check that out with Jen.
So it's on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, it's Val Kilmer's kind of autobiography. Super sad given the state of Val these days.
Yeah.
Because he is not in good health. But this was interesting. It was a bit self-serving because it was done by him. So, of course, he comes out looking like the good guy in every situation, when you know there's probably another side to every story. But what was really interesting was going back to a time when people weren't really doing this, is he documented his whole life. Like,
right.
he had a video camera and he shot everything. So it's a lot of on-scene things from Top Gun and even way before that when he was in college and
Top
Tombstone
Secret
and all these things. Yeah. So it was really interesting. And super sad in some ways because, like I said, he's not doing well and, he's kind of struggling. But yeah, a bit self-serving, like I said, because it's all from his point of view. But definitely worth watching if you like Val Kilmer at all.
Oh, I love Val Kilmer.
It's worth it. Yeah.
Yeah. You remember Pete Super Swede?
Well, I know his name. I've never met him, but...
Yeah, I met him at Connecticut Comic-Con.
Well, you told me that. He mentioned something about Val being
right? He was there to get a Tombstone poster signed by him, and the line for Val Kilmer was, like, literally, like, around the building. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And they had him, like, sanctioned off in a closed room. Like, they had tarps all around him, so you couldn't see him unless you actually got in there. And then when you went in there, Pete said that. He's like, it's tough. It's tough seeing him. And it's like, but he was a nice guy. He's like, I like that. You know, like,
well, even through this, he can't talk, but he had good humor. Like, he was in good spirits.
Yeah.
It's just his health isn't. And actually, according to this, what he says is, like, he feels fine. Like, his health is actually not bad. It's just that he can't really speak well anymore. It's the effects of the chemo and stuff, but
is he ever going to recover? Did they say anything
No, I don't think so.
This is
no.
Non-reversible.
I don't want to, like I said, I don't want to spoil it because you haven't watched it, but like he makes mention to the fact that like his acting career is
done.
Is pretty much done. Yeah. Like
He's supposed to
never
be in Maverick. I heard he was in Maverick. Yeah. But obviously they probably put him in a role that's appropriate, you know?
Right.
But yeah, so I've heard that he's in Maverick, so I was wondering how that's gonna play out. But but yeah, no, I love Val Kilmer.
So you'll enjoy it. It's definitely worth watching. Watch the first episode of C.
Yeah, how was that? I didn't check that out yet.
It was good. They brought Dave Bautista in this season to play.
Oh, nice.
Like the protagonist to Jason Momoa.
He's not a zombie, is he?
He's not a zombie.
Okay, good. I didn't know if it stuck from the last movie we saw him in.
This was a good show
last
season, so I enjoyed it. And again, it's one of those things, because everybody in the show is blind, they amp up the sound so much that with a good theater system, like it really is fun to watch.
What's more important, picture or sound?
Yeah, I have my thoughts.
I know you do. High five.
All right. Couple more. Two other series. We're not finished with either one of them. The one I'm watching by myself because Lydia doesn't like it is Euphoria. It's on HBO Max. I don't know if you've seen this at all. It stars Zendaya, plays a teenage drug addict. And it's all high school. This like takes place with a bunch of high school kids.
Sounds like something Jen would like. Seriously.
This show, no, I don't know. Like, so here's the thing. I mentioned last week that I look for things to watch when Lydia's not home because she works late. So I watched the first two episodes of this, and I was unsure of whether she would like it or not. So when we finished Hurricane Heist, I put this on, and I rewatched the first two episodes with her. And after the third episode, she was not not into this show at all. So it depends on how much Jen can take when it comes to the things kids do. This show makes me super glad that I don't have teenagers anymore. Like, it is all, like,
those
drugs.
Are the kids she deals with.
Well, I know, but like, but that's what I'm saying. It's all drugs. It's all sex. It's, you know, it's young kids scrolling apps and meeting old men in hotel rooms. And it's just all the stuff that kids are doing that are, like, really dangerous. And it's right. It's a pretty – it's really dark and pretty brutal, actually. I like it. You know.
I like it.
I mean, I liked it because
we
now
were
I'm,
kids
I'm,
once too.
Oh, believe me, we thought we did stuff. We didn't do anything.
No, I know that. I know that.
I said that to Lydia after watching this show. It's like, you know, I used to think like I lived a pretty, you know, adventurous lifestyle in high school. We didn't do anything.
Well, we didn't have
compared
the internet.
To what these kids. Well, that's the thing. We didn't have the ability to do the things that these kids do. But
we had Jolt in the Sears catalog.
Exactly. But it's, again, it's super dark, but I'm now invested in the characters, so I actually am enjoying the show. But yeah. Jen may like it, but just to say, be warned, it's pretty brutal. You know? It's sex, it's drugs, it's rape, there's all kinds of stuff going on here. But Zendaya, like,
to be fair,
I didn't know her from anything.
That stuff Jen deals with daily.
Oh, I know.
It's brutal. And
makes me glad that I don't have teenagers, but it makes me concerned for my granddaughters who are 10 Absolutely. And 12 and both have cell phones. And like, who are they talking to on these cell phones?
Well,
even my younger grandkids that are on Minecraft and these things all day long and talking to who knows who on these games. So, what I was going to say about Zendaya is, like, I didn't know her from anything except for the Spider-Man movies. And, like, she's fine in it, but she didn't do anything to, like, really stand out or impress me in those movies. But she's actually a pretty good actress. Like, this show is pretty pretty taxing for her, and she does a good job. So, I'm about halfway through with that. There's only one season. I've watched, I think, 4 or 5 episodes. I'll probably finish. It'll probably take me a couple of weeks because, like I said, I have to knock out 1 or 2 on the nights when Lydia's not home.
So that's Euphoria?
Euphoria, yeah. There's 10 episodes total, I believe. There's like 8 episodes in season 1, and then there's kind of like 2 standalone special episodes that I saw on there. So,
okay.
All right. And then the last show that's
on HBO Max, you said?
It's on HBO Max, yep. And then the show that Lydia and I are both watching is called, and I don't even know if I'm saying this right, it's called Fauda, F-A-U-D-A. It's this, last week I talked about that show Hit and Run, that Israeli show. Mm-hmm. This is made by basically the same people. It's the same lead actor is in this as well. It's also an Israeli show. Fauda is Israeli for chaos. But this is a different type of show. This has like 3 seasons, but we're just kind of getting started with it. But it's basically both sides of the Palestine and Israel conflict. You know, war's been raging for generations there. They don't like each other. But what's interesting is that, like, I don't know, I'm not a political animal. I don't really follow politics. Like, we are kind of positioned to side with Israel because the U.S. sides with Israel.
Okay.
And, you know, the Palestinians are the bad guys, is the way you're supposed to look at it. But this is human stories from both sides of it. You know what I mean? So what it does is it brings out the fact that there's people on both sides, you know, who have their beliefs and believe absolutely that what they're doing is the right thing and the just thing. And us sitting on the outside looking at it, we don't know anything. So,
right.
But, you know, there's a lot of suicide bombings and there's a lot of things that go on, jihads and Hamas and all this stuff. It's really interesting, though. It's really well done. Another one of those shows that you watch subtitled, so kind of the voices don't really match the people very well. You can put it on and just read it all in subtitles, but we're doing it with the sub, you know, with the voices,
yep.
The dubbing. But it's been pretty interesting so far. Really kind of getting into it. So
cool.
I think it's something that you guys might like as well. So
cool.
That is it for us.
All right. Let's hit the Spider-Man trailer.
Okay.
And Joe and I did a deep dive on that. We watched it a few times in the theater, had some fun with it, but then we started freezing it around the Daredevil scene. That you think it's Daredevil, right?
Well, they say, yeah, I haven't looked at it, so I don't know.
Well, here's what's really cool. Is like, first off, we really got into it, and if you pay attention to that scene when the scene in the trailer that I'm talking about is, if you've seen it online or you've seen any of the speculation that that's Matt Murdock or that's even Charlie Cox, is what a lot of people are saying. And I think it's Charlie Cox because the way Charlie Cox acted as Matt Murdock when he was supposed to be blind is he always walked around and he had his chin up and out. Like he always was like looking like he was looking nowhere, right? So the way you look nowhere is to actually look someplace that you're not supposed to be looking, right? So his chin would be out. Well, when he puts his hands down on the table in the trailer, you notice that his chin isn't in the shot when it should be. It barely touches. It just comes in at the last second, but it's kind of out, and it really looks like that posture. But what really told me that it's Charlie Cox is while Joe and I were up at the screen and we're looking at this, we have it frozen, we're playing it back and forth in slow motion and stuff, right? Pay attention to the window behind them.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, wait a minute, the reflection in the window, and you can see his arms, you see the fluorescent light over Peter's head, that's reflecting in the window, because there's Venetian blinds in there. And in the Venetian blinds, all of a sudden, right where his shoulder, the white line of his shoulder, his white shirt, it's gone. It's blacked out. Check it out. Freeze your TV and go up and look at the Venetian blinds. And in between, there is no reflection. So it's like they're hiding something because Charlie Cox was in there.
Right.
And I would love when the DVD comes out, the Blu-ray comes out, to freeze that and see Charlie Cox's reflection in that scene, if they even have that scene in the movie, you know?
Right, right.
But the fact that it's like, if it was anybody else, either maybe it is somebody else and they took it out, so you're thinking it's Charlie Cox, I don't know. But I just feel like somebody went in and scrubbed out in between those Venetian blinds so that you would not see
the
reflection, because there is a reflection in the window and then it just disappears. It's the fun you can have when you have a 110-inch screen.
Yeah.
Ted Lasso.
Yep.
What are we up to now for episodes?
Five or six?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Really?
Too many, because now we're on the downswing.
Is it only like eight?
I don't know. 8 or 10. I don't remember what the first season was.
So sad. So sad. Great episode. Great episode. I love, what's his name? The assistant coach that's like.
Yeah, Beard.
No, not Beard. The one that they brought in
The
Ned. Is it Ned?
Not Ned. Yeah.
Is it Ned?
I don't know his name, but I know who
something
you're talking
about. Something like that. Yeah. But he was like the water boy or something. And then they just, you know, and now he thinks he's all that. Which that was pretty funny how he, and he was good. He had a play and he did all that, but then he got in front of the camera.
Yeah, and he said, what did he say?
I don't know what he said. Wow. He goes, can we fix that in post?
Like, yeah, he's like, no, this is live.
Yeah. And he was like, uh-oh.
Yeah, I can't remember what he said.
I can't remember what he said either. Yeah. Beard is funny. Yeah. But the comment that I was reading an article this week, I can't remember where it was, but I read an article about like how Ted Lasso and its popularity came on during, you know, the pandemic. And when everybody was down, we needed something to lift us up, right? And everybody was, it's like, it's the one, like most things on TV are like dealing with the negative or bringing in the negative. And it's like people just gravitate towards that. That's why the news plays the way they do. And blah, blah. But here comes Ted Lasso that's just upbeat and positive, and every episode's a feel-good episode. Irony is this one didn't end that way. But
this one did not end that way. Yeah. No.
But what I thought of is I was like, the way they were talking about this, and it just reminded me of you and I sitting down when I was down in Houston talking about making up this podcast because of all the negativity around everything.
Right.
And we wanted to be, like, this is pre-Ted Lasso, but we wanted to be the opposite. And it's like,
right,
a lot of time, and it said in the article, most like positive things like this usually don't play well. We knew that going in. We're like, who cares? Let's have fun. But it's like, because people love the negativity. People love to rip on stuff. And we're like, let's just have fun with it.
It's fun. Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. But yeah, it shows so good. And you saw the comment that we got this week from a crossover listener, Martin Anderson, over on Twitter, listens to Brightside HT, and he listens to us. And he said, hey, at Brightside HT and Arkham Comics, thanks for talking so much about Ted Lasso. We would never have jumped on it if it had not been for you guys. So that was pretty cool. That was fun to see.
Yeah, that was great.
It's funny when we get comments from people that, one, we haven't heard of, like, we didn't know they were listening, but then they're crossover people and stuff, you know, like,
right?
Because some, you know, we know we have listeners, and we know it, but you don't hear from everybody all the time, and then all of a sudden somebody, you're like, oh my god, that's cool, that's awesome,
right?
So that was fun. Keep those comments coming, everybody. That's one this week.
Yeah, that was great. Yep.
We know, Dr. Joe, you're out there.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of what else. We did finish Kevin. Did I tell you that last week?
You were going to finish it.
Okay.
Last week.
I was kind of disappointed with the ending.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I'm like, it didn't end on it. It ended like it needs another episode.
Right.
Like, obviously, are they picking it up? Has it been?
Well, I think they would. Yeah. I haven't heard anything, but I think they're hoping to come back, and that's why they left it that way.
But it was like there was no resolve whatsoever. Did I miss something?
I'll be honest with you. I don't even remember how it ended now. It's been so many weeks.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
A little disappointed with that. I was a little disappointed with how that ended. I thought there would have been some resolve. Kevin.
I mean, that whole episode where, he becomes a hero for,
and then he's running for mayor or whatever of Worcester, and he's like doing all, it's like,
I kind of remember, it's kind of coming back to me a little bit.
Yeah, and then I don't know. So it's like, I mean, I'll pick up season two, but that's one of those shows that I don't know if it'll get picked up, because I don't hear a lot of people.
I don't know if it will either.
I don't hear a lot of people talking about it.
Yeah, it didn't have a lot of buzz, so.
No. We're doing our part.
Or not. Yeah.
Other than that, I can't even think of what else I've watched this week, even in the theater. Oh, that was the other one. Free Guy.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I ventured out to the theater.
Yeah, you went out to see that one.
I went out to see this one. And, that is real world. Had to go out into the real world and see it. And it's really, I really liked it. I've wanted you to see it before tonight's show, but obviously you didn't make it.
Well, I was at dinner when you texted me. I was at...
It was 3 days ago.
I was at dinner when you texted me, Texas Roadhouse. I mean, I can't go every night. But when you texted me, I was out to dinner, and I was right by the movie theater. So I checked to see if it was going to play in a time that worked out for us, because I would have left the restaurant and gone to see it.
Oh, cool.
Like, we had just missed, we weren't going to make the one show. Yeah. And the next show was like 3 hours later.
Yeah.
So it just didn't work out. So we went home, and then I looked to see what time it was playing Sunday. But same thing, like, we go out to breakfast, and we usually, get home around noon, but this wasn't going to play till like 2 or 2:30.
Right.
Like, the timing just didn't work out. So I didn't want to be out that long trying to just kill time, you know, before the movie. So we didn't get to go. And I have my tickets already for this week for Shang-Chi. So,
yeah. Looking forward to that.
Probably won't see it this week either.
I had to see it in a crappy theater. It wasn't even like it wasn't the good theater with the good surround sound, with the Atmos sound and the big screen and the nice seats. It was a crappy theater. And I'm like, I honestly, I won't do this again. I mean, it was a good movie and we had a good time with it. I can't wait to see it in my theater, but it was, I'm like, yeah, you got to really up your game there, people. Right. Like, after all that, you go and
you want to just voodoo and watch it at home, right?
The guy sitting behind me, and like this is in like the cinema where the seats are on top of each other, and he kept tapping his foot, which was like right by my ear.
Right.
And Jen and I were like, like, what are you doing, buddy? Like, it was so aggravating. Not cool. Not cool. But the movie was really good. Ryan Reynolds.
I've heard really good things about it.
Yeah.
I definitely want to see it.
I can't wait for you to see it. But
haven't. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll probably be talking Shang-Chi next week. So.
Yeah, I'd imagine so.
Yep. So. All right, that's all I have. We'll save. Cool. We will save. What you call it?
Have you watched Coda yet?
No. No, we haven't.
You gotta get on that.
That's a movie.
It is, but that's like the Ted Lasso of movies. I'm telling you, you need to get on it.
All right. You saw how long it took us to get on Ted Lasso.
I know, but I had my mother came over here yesterday because the gas company was finally coming to upgrade the meter for my generator, and I had to leave for work. So she came over and was going to stay until they finished, and I put it on for her so she could watch it because she doesn't have access to it at her house. And the guy came to do the gas as I was leaving, and my mother called me later. She says, yeah, I stayed and watched the movie and then I left.
Oh. Nice.
And she's like, that was such a great movie. She just like went on and on about how much she liked it. So I'm telling you need to watch it.
Okay, duly noted.
Yes.
All right, let's wrap it up then, and we will get out of here so we can get into Kryptonite. That'll do it for this week. What a show. Look at that. I don't know, John. We might come in under 2 hours this week.
We might.
We might. Look at that. Let's see how long Kryptonite takes. We're cooking along here. But, all right. If you'd like to talk to us, you can reach John exclusively at Arkham Comics with an X. Or you can reach both of us at Brightside_chat on Twitter. Or you can email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. And you can check us out and all the other great podcasts like Comic Talk Today, Nerdy Legion, What Did You Watch This Week, and blah, blah, blah. There's a bunch of them and a home theater one as well over at Nerdy Legion, nerdylegion.com. And you can check us out on YouTube, and that's where you get to see all the nice images of the comics that we talked about. So,
yep.
Hit us up. We'll talk about you next week. And that'll do it. Right, John?
Yes. Take care, everyone.
All right. Hey, Fred. All right, John, is that door locked?
Yes.
Look at you playing along. It's nice now that you can hear the sound, right?
I know. Yeah.
It's so great.
I know. Right. I know when it's actually being locked.
For years, you couldn't hear sweet stuff like this.
She That's fell right. onto Dick. That's right. You couldn't hear that.
Yep. I know.
Well, the two or three that we'll have next week.
Oh, my God. I got to find those. I listen to this back tomorrow, I'll probably be writing down the numbers and stuff. So be like, I'm like, the only problem is you said we. If it was you, I would be a little more on board. You're like, we.
Yeah, yeah.
You I'm like, oh, yeah. What, do you got a muscle in your pocket there, buddy?
I'm lumping you in.
Oh, man.
Oh, that was you. I thought I was getting a text.
No.
That's my text sound.
I got them all going.
I know. Just hit every button you have.
Hey, I'm sitting down here, bored out of my mind. I'm all alone in this
closet of justice.
See, you haven't used that one in a while.
Nope, haven't used that one. Love that one. We use that all the time.
Yeah.
All right. You ready? What do you want to get to first? What if Titans?
Yeah, what if, I guess.
You want to talk what if? Yeah. All right. What if this week was basically, it's like they killed them all off, John.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
It was.
And yeah, that was the bad guy, as we teased at the beginning of the show with Hank's hot sauce, was Hank right. Pym, which that was pretty cool. No de-aging there. They made him.
No, he was old.
He was old. But that was weird. I didn't know how I felt when the big reveal happened.
Was Hank?
That it was Hank. I was like, that's
kind of strange.
You're
supposed to like Hank. Yeah, you're not supposed to dislike him. But I don't know. It was interesting. I thought it was kind of soft.
Like, he's like, all right, you killed my wife. You're like, really? Yeah. That's what this is all about? You just killed all of the Avengers?
Right. In the whole world, basically, right? Think of all the people that aren't going to get saved now.
Well,
but
that was the interesting thing. It's like kind of like the Jurassic Park, life finds a way. Like, destiny finds its way. And the one that wasn't killed that you realize was Steve Rogers. So somehow they still, I took by the end of that, is that the Avengers did get founded. It just was a different group. So
it's a different group because he went and found Steve in the ice, and then there was Carol.
Yes.
So you get the two captains.
That was pretty cool too when he had the beeper.
Yeah. Right.
And he's like, I could call her. I could no. And he didn't even say her. He's like, I could use it, but I don't know. Right. You know, and you're like, you know. If you know the movie, you know what he was referring to. But that the entire thing was really,
it was good. I thought Coulson was great.
Yeah,
through the whole thing.
Yeah,
you know,
Coulson's great.
Was good.
I think it's pretty. They are using Samuel Jackson too.
Yeah, they had
Samuel Jackson.
Well, it was everybody that was still under contract basically did their voices, except for Brie Larson. Brie Larson did not do Captain Marvel.
Okay.
But everybody else.
But that was what's his name? Hawkeye?
I think it was Jeremy Renner.
Was it really?
Yeah.
It didn't sound like him. I didn't think it sounded like him.
Yeah, they had because the week before when it was the T'Challa episode, it was like everybody was back.
Yeah.
This week, you know, the ones that weren't back, of course, were like Robert Downey, you know, the ones that are gone from their contracts.
Right.
But I thought it was interesting that they didn't use Brie Larson because she is still under contract with them.
Right.
So I was surprised that it wasn't her. You knew it wasn't as soon as you heard her talk, but I don't know why she wasn't available for that. But
and I think she had a different haircut yet again.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, what's his name? Clark Gregg was there as Coulson, yep. And Sam Jackson was there. Mark Ruffalo. It probably wasn't Liv Tyler either. Actually, I'm sure it wasn't.
Yeah, I'm sure it wasn't.
But she's also not under contract with them. So
right.
That wouldn't even been her. Liv Tyler was the Ed Norton Hulk, right? So who was?
Yeah, but the Ed Norton Hulk is the continuity one. That is the continuity one. Because that's the one with, what's his name? General, that is in it now.
Ross, right. Thunderbolt Ross. And it had the Abomination also.
Right.
So it probably was Liv, and it looked like Liv Tyler, you know, sort of. So
right. Because it's that, the first movie isn't part of this continent, isn't part of the MCU.
No, the Ang Lee movie.
Right.
Is not, yeah.
But that other Hulk is. But that wasn't with, obviously, Mark Ruffalo. They brought Mark Ruffalo in later. On the Avengers, right?
Yes.
Mark Ruffalo came in on
the Avengers. He's never had a standalone movie.
Right.
He's
Ruffalo
only ever been,
hasn't. Right.
Right. He's only ever been in the Avengers movies. But yeah, you're right. The
Ed
Norton movie.
It
wasn't standalone,
but
he had a pretty big part in that. But my only gripe with this show.
The show or episode?
No, the show in general.
Oh, really?
And I understand why they're doing what they're doing, but I wish it wasn't all based on the MCU. Like, what if could
like
go
all their
in
stories.
A lot yeah. of directions? You know what I mean? Now, I do know that the last episode is Marvel Zombies, which obviously didn't happen in the MCU.
Okay.
But it's going to be all the people from the MCU.
Oh,
you
really?
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the stories are different, but it's all the versions that we've seen in the MCU. Like, it doesn't seem like they're going to introduce any new characters in this show.
Well, that's... Yeah, exactly. And, because if you introduce a new character, people don't know the difference. They don't right. know the what if. Whereas this isn't for the comic book fan. This is for the MCU fans.
Right,
so
right.
You really
that's what
can't
I'm saying,
do
but
a what
that's
if
my
people
only...
would take that as gospel. Like,
yeah, but that's my only real gripe with this is like with the show like What If,
right.
they could have done so many things, you know. You could have had Wolverine or you could have had this or that, but
right.
they're just not interested in introducing new characters through this show.
Right now.
You know,
yeah.
right now.
But that's kind
you
of
you could have the Fantastic Four. You know, you could have done so many things
right.
with a what-if story. And again, this is it's a small gripe, but it's very apparent that this is all based on the MCU. And,
right.
You know,
but that was so. Kind of my point. A couple weeks ago when I mentioned that about, like, Braden Russell was the one that brought the point up, and it made me realize that, yeah, like, Disney Plus and all these shows are great, but they're so MCU-centric
right.
that it loses a little bit of the creativity. We love them, absolutely love them, but it was kind of fun to have the Daredevil story on Netflix, to have the Jessica right. Jones story, because you weren't tied to anything else, and you could do something. There was a slight thread to the MCU in those stories, but very, right. very slight.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think, slight. Like, what you're saying here is kind of the exact same thing. Like, why can't you do, like, a Wolverine story here? Why does it have to... You know, like
if you are watching Spider-Man and his amazing friends, right? Like they would have no problem throwing the Thing or Dare. Like they could just
yeah.
throw in anybody they wanted because
right.
it was an animated show. And I don't know. Like I hoped, I guess, that they would introduce some new stuff into this. But after now going through four episodes, it's very obvious that that's not. You know, that's not going to happen. It's all going to be, you know.
Well,
versions of MCU stories.
Right. Because
and
that's the thing.
You're not going to get the what if Conan fought Thor or something like that, you know?
Right. Oh, speaking of Thor, in this episode, that was that when they saw Thor and they're like,
yeah.
oh, wow, he's got great hair.
The hair. Yeah, hair. Everybody talked about the hair.
And doesn't Coulson say, like, he's gorgeous or something like that? It's like,
my only problem with that is, like, I don't think an arrow kills him. Like,
no, it
care.
Would. It would because he's human. He's human.
Oh,
there
he was not.
He had lost his powers. Sent to Earth and he lost his powers.
Okay.
So, because I thought of the same thing and I'm like, how do you kill him there? But I think if he did get shot with the arrow, although he got hit by a car.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure he was fairly human. He didn't have his powers at the time, so that would have killed him maybe. But
right.
But I thought it was fun all the way through it, because it did have that air of suspense, because you didn't know who was doing it.
Right, you weren't sure who the villain was.
Yeah, and that's why I say, I'm like, that was kind of a little bit of a weak letdown there with the, where I'm like, Hank Pym? Like, that's weird.
Yeah.
Like, but I mean, it was fun
but
for the ride.
But it makes sense in the way, too, because his powers are what allowed some of that to happen, right?
Like, right.
If you couldn't shrink down to ant size, you couldn't have done some of that stuff.
Right.
So,
yeah. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, all right. Anything else on What If? For this
on
one?
What If? No, I don't. No, I don't think so.
All right. Let's get to Titans.
Okay.
I love the theme song.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so this week we get the nice backstory of Red Hood, really. Not
right.
really Jason's backstory. This is how it took basically a 3-month process that was set in motion by Bruce Wayne himself.
Right.
Inadvertently, really. And actually, is it even more than that? Isn't this kind of set in place from his history with the Titans in the first season?
What happened? Yeah, when he left the Titans, they didn't leave on good terms, right? So he was already
fell off a building, and he was still dealing with
the Deathstroke.
Deathstroke. Yeah, I was going to say Deathstroke.
Yeah. So yeah, he was already chapped when he got back from that, and then you know the things that happened with Bruce didn't help matters any.
Well, he's lost his mojo, really.
Right.
Because you saw that in the alley when he took his, like, quote, girlfriend or whatever there.
Yeah. And then
he goes
and tries to be
Robin. That was a shocking scene.
He gets his butt whipped, yeah. And it was like, yeah, that was
I thought he was going to go all Robin, all Jason.
I thought it would
him.
Be the opposite. And like, he would go too far and almost beat the other guy to death. But yeah, he has a flashback to falling off the building, and like he's afraid essentially, right? He's paralyzed by this fear that he has, and you know, Bruce recognizes it, wants to kind of sideline him for a bit and put him in therapy, and of course Jason, you know, doesn't want to do that,
right?
But yeah, you see it, like, you know, he goes to Crane and he wants to reverse engineer the fear toxin,
but how about
to get rid of fear?
Right. But how about that? I see. That's what I think is, I think it's some really creative writing that they're doing here, because the threads that they use to get you to that point, you could see how a person, like how Jason is doing this. Like, he's afraid. He's paralyzed by fear. Bruce pulls him, you know, you're done. You're putting you on the shelf until you get this settled. So I'm going to send you, and Bruce thinks he's doing a good thing by sending him to Leslie Tompkins. Yeah. And he gets to Leslie's office, and there's a picture there, and it's a picture of
Crane,
right. Of Scarecrow. Right. And he knows that Scarecrow. That's where he gets the idea, like, wait a minute. And he even says it. He goes, you knew Scarecrow? She's like, well, he wasn't Scarecrow when I knew him. But right. Then she talks about the things that he did. And, like, he asks her, like, what was it like to be afraid? What was it like to be? It was, and she gives her description. But his wheels are turning, like, wait a minute. If he can make somebody afraid. And then he goes there. So isn't that kind of, like, to me, isn't that kind of cool? Like, you just place that in the office. Like, of course, maybe they did know each other. It's completely believable, the chain reaction of what went on here.
Right, but what's not believable is that he says, what was it like to be into the fear toxin? And she says, it's the closest you can get to hell on earth or something like that.
Right. Hell while you're alive.
But yet she still has this photo in her office. Like, I don't buy that. Like, I don't keep mementos of people that torment me and, you know.
No, you just do a podcast with one.
And almost kill me. Yeah, right. So I kind of didn't believe that photo would still be there, but...
But it's, you know, part of that thread.
It's part of the show.
It's part of the show, and it is still comic based,
right? But yeah, I thought it was kind of like, even though, like, you understand where Jason's coming from. Like, they did a pretty good job of, like, building his mental state when he goes to meet Crane, right?
Yeah,
and he's willing to do just about anything to get back out there. Right, and stop being afraid. But I still was like, I don't buy that he sold out himself and Bruce to do that, basically, right? Because let's say you do solve your fear and you get back out there as Robin. Now you've outed yourself. You've outed Bruce, right? And it's like your end goal isn't served by
giving, like,
all those secrets
now,
right? But your end goal isn't served by giving all those secrets away. And it goes back to what we were talking about last week, is that they've played so loose with the secret identities and all that stuff that I don't buy that, even with everything he was going through. Like, that has to be the number one thing Batman drills into your head when you go into Robin training boot camp, right? Like, you don't talk about...
Yeah, what happens in
the
Robin
first rule of Fight Club,
Club?
Right, the first rule of Fight Club is you don't talk there. About Fight Club. You know,
yeah,
like, that's got to be the thing that. because you are supposed to believe that under any duress, like that he will sit there and get beat to death by the Joker with a crowbar and still not give up his secret identity,
right.
You know, because that's what these guys do in the comics and all that stuff, right? So that part still rubs me the wrong way a little bit.
Well, let me.
But I know
try
what
to
they
alleviate
were.
Alleviate your mind on that. A
you know,
bit.
I know what they were doing with him. You know, and they did a pretty good job of getting him there. But I don't know. I still think he was a little quick to give up the give up the goods.
He did do it quick, but he is acting. He's acting like a child. He's
right.
Being very temperamental and like
petulant.
Yeah, and I mean, when I was a little kid, I had.
Well, he's a teenager, right?
Yeah. So. When I was a teenager, a little kid, I had a brutal temper. And right. I used to push my parents to the limit. And I remember, like, you get grounded and be like, you want another week? And you're so angry. You're like, I don't care.
You're like, so yeah, give me another week.
Give me another
yeah.
week. Give me two
Thank
weeks.
You, sir. May I have another?
Yeah, exactly. You know? It's like, you're already burning down my world. Let it all burn, right? And I think that's where he is right now. And he's just like, because he says, and it's like, like when Crane says to him, like, why are you doing, like, what are you doing? And he's, I can't remember what Jason says. He says something like, not good for the goose, but he's basically doing the same thing. He's like, you're going to out me. You're going to put me on the shelf. If I can't be Robin, you're not going to be able to be Batman. So he's going to out right. Batman. So that's all done for him. And right. that's how he's feeling right now. And which I thought was kind of strange. Because you did have that emotional scene when they right. went to the site of his, you know, right. Bruce Wayne's parents' death, and he opens up to Jason and calls him son. And then, right. you know, Batman, Bruce actually tries to do something that I don't know if, he, I mean, I guess he did it in his own way with, you know, with Dick, but I just, I think Jason, like you said, he's just being so childish here. And it's like,
right.
like when he says, like, oh, you're calling me a mistake. And I wanted Bruce to go, no, I'm right. saying I made a mistake with Dick and I don't want to repeat that one.
Right.
Right. Because they ended on bad terms. And here he is. And it's like, but he didn't say that. So he leaves Jason just to think on his own. And I'm like, ah, right. like.
But yeah, it's one of those things you want to grab him and shake him, you know, like you like he's your kid and be like,
right.
you know, that's not what I'm saying. Although I don't grab and shake my kids, just for the record. But but you know, that's what you want. You want to be like, you're not listening to what I'm saying. It's like, stop right. talking.
right.
Listen to what I'm telling you, you know. But he's got it in his head that, you know, Leslie sold him out to Bruce and, you know, he's because basically he tells him, you know, I don't want you to be Robin anymore. And that's when it all spirals out of control.
I just want you to be my son.
Right.
I just want to take care of you.
And that's what he says.
He
says, you don't have to be Robin to be my son or whatever.
Right.
It's like, that was all emotional stuff. And it was, and you could tell Jason was hit hard when he called him son. Like it.
Yeah.
You know, it really kind of.
I thought it was some great acting too.
Yeah. It was really good.
On both sides. I thought the lines were delivered really powerfully. I thought right. it was like you got sucked into it. You were like, oh right. wow, this is.
But then in the next scene he rages out of control and then you want to smack him in the face, you know. And it's
but
like
that's
you're
like
not
a,
listening,
a teenager,
you know?
Is though they're right. very temperamental like that.
It's, well, and again, you can't tell them what's good for them, you know.
No,
I mean, because kids know everything and you're stupid, so you can't tell them nothing.
Yeah.
But
so once we start to get the once Jason starts mixing the formulas,
right
away, when he had, remember, he goes to the iPad and he's got the first formula and he's got to mix right. it and test it. I couldn't wait to ask you this. What do you think the odds are that that those formulas are a cocktail to do something? Like each one of them meant something and is building him to the Red Hood that Crane wanted. A la like Batman 89, when it was like, remember Joker put the stuff in the water or the different makeups? You had to use different combinations to get the reaction. Right. I feel like it would be a good payoff if each one of those that he was testing actually played
was
the next one
something.
Played off of the next yeah. one and next one. And it actually built. So he never actually, Jason didn't know he was actually altering himself because he's, oh, I'm just testing this. But that actually built on the, it was a building block to the next one. And that's why he is the way he is. And now he's addicted to that, you know, fear or fearless right,
but
toxin.
That, but that also, like the toxin answers your question of how he comes back from what right. he did. Because now, oh, I wasn't in control. I was a drug addict and Crane was in control. So
right.
I didn't mean to kill Hank. You know, I was under the influence of these right. drugs. And so that's kind of how he comes back. So,
yeah, and Crane doesn't even know who Hank is. Who's Hank? Right. Oh, yeah, right. the big guy with the bomb.
The bird guy. You're all birds.
You're all right? birds.
Doesn't he say something like you're yeah. all birds or something yeah. like
Nightwing,
that?
Nightwing, Robin.
Robin. Hawk.
Hawk.
Dove.
Dove. It's too many birds.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's yeah, the big guy with the bomb. That's what he called him. It's like... He doesn't even care. He doesn't know.
Crane
oh no,
he didn't. He didn't care about that at all. He just wanted the act to take place so that he would have Jason under his control. You
right.
know?
The one I didn't get, maybe you can clarify this for me, is he when Jason said to him, "Your formula was off," and then Crane says, "Only by a little," but I needed you to have some skin in the game. So
right,
what does
because,
that mean, Jason?
Well, because what
it?
You were saying, well, what you were saying was that you thought each iteration was doing was intentionally
was
doing
building
something
to something. Yeah.
What that scene is saying is that Crane gave him partially the formula, but it wasn't correct, and he wanted Jason to figure out the
right.
rest.
That's what I thought, and then so yeah. like now it's
and so
it's so on
now
you.
He
you
has,
did it to yourself,
right? So basically, yeah, you're invested because you. I guess you, you know, you put your work into it, and
right.
you know, I can come back and say, well, I didn't give him that. He did it to himself, you know.
Right. True.
So,
but that's why I think like each one is building on the next, and I think you know, I can't wait to get you know the team back in on this. I can't wait to hear right. like I can't wait to see Nightwing deal with this. See the team
my
deal
only,
with this.
Yeah, and my only thing now is actually the pacing of this show is like initially I was saying how I didn't want them to just wrap up the Jason thing and then move on, but now we're like halfway through the season and we haven't gone to Themyscira yet. We haven't seen Donna or Raven. So now I'm kind of like, is that going to be just like the thing that gets super fast tracked at the end, and we're not going to be satisfied because it was too rushed.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like, let's weave. I'm waiting for them to start weaving some more storylines into this.
Right.
Like, they can keep doing this storyline, but kind of like they did with Starfire. It's like, she's off doing her own thing. Like, why don't we have any scenes going on where we're seeing Raven and, you know, other stuff going on? Because I'm kind of like, now I'm five episodes in, I'm waiting to see Donna come back, you know.
Yeah, well, we got a little bit of her.
Well, yeah,
in a dream
flashback
sequence or
dreams,
whatever.
Yeah, kind of like his nightmare scene, but
the nightmare. Yeah,
but you know, there's going to be storyline there. It's not like she's just going to come back to life. Like, there's not going to magically be a Lazarus pit
not.
In
yeah.
the sewer on Themyscira. You know, I mean,
what'd you think of that?
That's only in Arkham.
What'd well, you that's think what of that, the like, Lazarus that, pit in Arkham.
Yeah, that bothered me.
Did
I was
it?
Like, yeah,
see,
that bugged me.
You know,
that's
why
what
it
I was saying. The convenience
me?
Of that in
right.
the sewers and Crane just having his run of the whole damn place. Like, how is he down in that room training Jason to do anything? And
right.
nobody knows. There's no cameras. Nobody knows what's going on down there. You know.
Well,
so,
yeah, but I mean, we all know just, Arkham isn't the best place to keep people because Joker
no,
keeps being
just,
put in there and taken out.
Yeah, but he just. You know, doing whatever he wants in there, you know.
See,
so.
That would have bothered me had I not read Robin. The latest,
yeah.
or been reading the Robin series, where that entire series is based off of a Lazarus pit on an alternate island that was,
right.
and that's why they get to do what they're doing on that island. You know what I mean? So Lazarus
well, even
pits
in the comics,
showing
like it's
up
been,
everywhere.
Well, it's been established that he has pits like throughout the world.
Right.
You know, like Roz has pits.
Right, but in the basement you know. Of Arkham?
But yeah, I was like, that's a little convenient for me.
Right.
And this henchman that I guess works for Crane breaks the body out of the morgue and drags him through the sewers and throws him in the Lazarus
but
pit.
But do we get a Roz show up and maybe there's a bigger story here? Because that's the other thing. Do we think that Crane is the mastermind of this entire season? Or is there somebody above Crane pulling the strings?
Yeah, I mean, right now you think
Batman
so.
Take Batman down.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that would definitely be on par with something that Roz would do. Because like he's the planner, you know, he's the schemer, and might be pulling the strings on that. But
or anybody could be anybody. And
well, it could be.
Who knows? You know. So I have a hard time. Not a hard time. I'd be disappointed if we end the season and it's Crane the whole way.
Right.
Like just too much happenstance here, and then like
right.
I think it'll be. A good reveal if we wind up season three and all three seasons culminate at the end of the season. Like this all happened, like, you know, Jason going off the building, doing all this stuff led up to, just like we were just talking about, how it led Jason to where he is and all this is. And the right. Titans are the ones that are going to save Batman from literally somebody's trying to take Batman down here. And it's the Titans that stop it. So,
right.
That'd be cool. Hopefully that's what happens. But if it doesn't, hopefully it's still entertaining.
Well, I'm sure it will be. But if we know anything about any of these shows, it's that
we know nothing.
We don't know. We don't have the answers yet.
You know,
there's going to be more that we don't see coming. So,
yep. So, all right. So we have What If later today. And we have Titans episode
Titans tomorrow.
Six tomorrow. Can't wait for that. Looking forward to that. And then, and actually, tomorrow we're supposed to be getting that, what is it, Fred? Hurricane Fred or whatever? Or
oh, are you?
Yeah, we're getting that, the remnants of it on Thursday.
Yeah,
we're getting decked with rain on Thursday. We're supposed to, something like stupid, like 5 inches of rain that we're supposed to be getting. But so I'll be home for the day.
Awesome.
Yep, be working on my home theater podcast that day.
There you go.
So big fun. All right. That it? We're done?
We are.
All righty. For John, for me, have a great week, everybody. And
she fell on to Dick. Take care. I'd be drunk now. I should have remembered to bring my drink.